Gemara in the beginning of Ketzah HaRegel and Daf Yud Zayin introduces the sugya of Basar Meikar and Basar Tavra Mana Azlihan. The Gemara quotes the Braisa that tells us that Tana Rabbanan Tarnagolim Shayim Mechatetin Bechevel Dli. If you have Tarnagolim that are pecking at a rope which a bucket is attached in V'nifsa Kachevel V'nishvah Dli, in that case one is chayiv to pay Nezek Shomim. And Rava raises the following issue: what happens in the following case? If it was Darsa Al HaKli V'lo Shibarto, what happens if the animal pounces on a kli and it does not break? And all of a sudden now, v'nisgalga l'makom acher v'nishbar, and it starts rolling, and subsequently the kli breaks. Do we treat that as a direct act of hezek, nezek shalem, or do we assume this is only a case of tsuros of kocho, and one would pay chati nezek? Do you assume the Gemara tells us that basar meikar azlina, and therefore v'gufuhu, and therefore you pay a nezek shalem? Oh, Dilma, should we assume that basar tavramana azlina, and therefore tsuros dinu, the hezek now is only considered to be al yidei kocho, not gufo, and therefore you only pay chati nezek? So in a case of darsa al hakli v'nisgalgil, is that considered to be gufo, is that considered to be kocho? That depends on basar meikara or basar tavramana. The Gemara wants to resolve it from the following: the tifshodei midaraba. What happens in a case of zara kli mirosh agag? A person goes ahead and throws his kli off of the roof. Uba acher shvaro b'makel, and a person smashes the kli on its way down. In that case, the one who smashes it is pater, because after all, the arminan le mana tevira tavar, because after all, he was simply breaking a kli that literally was already considered to be broken. So don't we see from this case, we'll have to see exactly what the Gemara's attempt is, but that could resolve the suffix of Rava. The Gemara answers, it's true. L'Rava pshitale, according to Rava, it is obvious. L'Rava mibayile, but nonetheless, Rava in fact had a suffix. So our suffix of Rava, the case of Darsa Kli v'nisgalgal, that is dependent on the suffix of Rava of Zara Kli. Rava was able to be machriya, but Rava nonetheless had his suffix. Rashi explains the following: what exactly is this case of Rabba, the instance of Zara Kli, and the Sheni comes and he smashes it before it hits the ground? So Rashi writes that the Zorek is Chayim. When the Gemara says that the Mishaber is Potter, in other words, that means that the Zorek is considered to be Chayim. How is it that the Zorek is Chayim? So Rashi writes, that's a clear indicator that Basra Me'ikara Azlinan. So from the case of Rabba, we can derive that Basra Me'ikara Azlinan, and the Zorik is considered to be Chayim, and therefore in the case of Rava, Darsa al-Hakli, we would consider that to be a case of Gufo, of Regel, not a case of Kocho, of Tsuros, and therefore one would be Chayiv Nezek Sholem. That's how Rashi understands this sugya. If you look in the very end of the parak, and of Chavav and Beis, the Gemara raises a similar case according to Rabba. The Gemara writes, Chavav Mebeis, but three quarters of the way down, V'omer Rabba, Zara Kli Mirosh Agag, Uba Acher V'Shavra B'Makel. Again, the one who is Shover the Kli is Potter, because Mona Tevira Tavar. But the following case, V'omer Rabba, Zara Tinok Mirosh Agag. If a person, Rachman Litzlan, throws a child off of the roof, and Uva Acher B'Kiblo B'Sayif, and a person goes ahead and catches the child with a sword, with a knife, and thereby killing him, that already Rabba says is plukta de Rabbi Yudba Meserev Rabbanam. That is a machlokes tanaim. After all, the Tani we learned in Braisa, Hiko Asar B'nei Adam Basara Maklos, if 10 people strike an individual, whether it's B'Basachas, whether it's B'Zeh Harzeh, in such a case, Kulan Turin, everyone is in fact Potter. Rabbi Yudba Meserev says, if it is B'Zeh Harzeh, in such an instance, the Achron is Chayiv. Why is that true? Shekirev Misaso, because he is the one who hastened the Misa. Even if it's clear that the person could have died otherwise, nonetheless, the fact that he gave the last blow, and that was the immediate cause of death, in such a case, the Achron is considered to be Chayiv. What happens if Bo Shor V'Kiblo B'Karnav? What happens in a case of a Shor goes ahead and kills this child who is falling with its horn? In such an instance, is there a chi of kofar or is there not? The Gemara tells us that is a machlokis plukta de Rabbi Yishmo benosh Rabbi Yochan Baraka v'Rabbanon. After all, the Tanya, the Braisa, tells us v'nosan pidyon nafshal. Whose pidyon nafshal? Whose neshes is that? Demei nizak. The first possibility is it's considered to be demei nizak. In that case, the nizak was not worth anything at all, and therefore one is potter. However, Rabbi Yishma ben El Shem Yochan Baruch Amar no, Demei Mazik, and therefore there is a Chiyu Kofer in that instance. So, the Gemara here, on this daf, and of Chavok Mudbeis, introduces Rabbah's case of Zara Kli Meros Shagag, that the one who breaks the Kli is considered to be Butter. The Gemara goes on to the case of Zara Tinok. There, in that instance, the Gemara says that is the Machlokus Rabbi Mebeseira and Mechachamim. In the case of Kiblo Bekarnov, whether there is a Chi of Kofer, the Gemara says that depends on whether a Kofer is considered to be Dmei Nizak, whether a Kofer is Dmei Mazik. Now, in the earlier case, in our Sugya Daf Yizayin Mudbeis, and the Gemara Daf Chavav Mudbeis, the initial case of Zara Kli Mirov Shagag, so Rashi understands as follows, that when the Gemara tells us that the Shover is Potter, in such a case that is because the Basar may Ikara Azlina, and in such an instance the Zorek is considered to be Chayim. According to Rashi, one perhaps could raise a very simple kasha, why is it that the Gemara mentions that the Mishaber is Potter? Why doesn't Rashi simply say that the Zorek is considered to be Chayim? Now, if the Gemara is interested in telling us that Basra may karaz linan, wouldn't the Gemara simply state that if Zara Kli Miro Shagag, even if someone else comes and breaks the Kli, since we assume Basra may kara, the Zorek is considered to be Chayim? Rashi, in fact, writes, and Daf Yitzayin Rebeis, that that is indeed the halacha. Rashi says, V'chayiv ha-Zorek, ama Basra may karaz linan. Why doesn't the Gemara say that the Zorek is considered to be Chayiv? So Rashi and Abchavav Mabez writes the following. Who is this Zorek? So Rashi comments, Zorek is Baal HaKli. It is the owner of the Kli that began this process. He threw it off of the roof. If that is the case, if it's his Kli, well, obviously, he is not going to be Chayiv. The only possibility is that the Mishaber would be Chayiv, and that is not the case because Basame Kozlinan. If, however, it will be someone else that threw the Kli off of the roof, Eino Chinami, according to Rashi, the Zorek would be Chayiv, Vosem Ekaraz Linan. The reason the Gemara does not state this is because we're talking about the normal case where the Baal HaKli is the Zorek. Okay, so Rashi avoids that technical difficulty. Why does the Gemara mention that Meshaber is Potter? Why doesn't the Gemara say that HaZorek is Chayiv? However, if you look in the Rush, in the very end of the Perek, in Perek Beis and Simen Tezayin, the Rush cites this view of Rashi, the Pirish Shazarko Baal HaKli. It was the Baal HaKli who began the process, who threw it off of the roof. Why does Rashi say this? The Rush simply explains, Lefisha Yakashalo, Lamalo Pirish Rabba Hadin HaZorek. Why doesn't Rabba say that the Zorek is Chayiv? Why does Rabba simply say that the Meshaber is Potter? So therefore Rashi says it was the Baal HaKli. So the Rush writes the following, the Lonely Hira. The milsa de pshiti de pater hamishaber. If that would be the case, that the Baal HaKli was one who threw it off of the roof, well, it's obvious that the one who broke it would in fact be pater, irrespective of our issue of whether baster mikar baster tavramanaz linan. Shouldn't we assume the aveda midasi? Isn't that considered to be a case of aveda midas? After all, if I take my kli, I throw it off of the roof. So isn't it obvious that I have no interest in this Kli, I am mashke the Kli, and therefore, of course, no one is going to be chayiv for its destruction. And Va'od, and the Rashi adds that, Heichi pashit mihacha, de basa me'ikara azlinan. How then can the Gemara prove that we assume basa me'ikara? After all, I azlinan basar so, of course you're potter, because this is aveda midas, Vahavi ki ilu hivkiru bailim. And of course, no one else would be chayiv in such an instance. So therefore, the Rush writes, you must argue that hilkach bazarka acher mayri. You have to assume that no, we're talking about someone else, not the Baal HaKli that threw it off of the roof. And the fact that Rava says, mana tavira tovar, so that's another way of saying the Zorek is considered to be chayiv. When Argamar says mana tavira tavar, so that's exactly the same as Basar Mikaraz Linan, and the Zorek is considered to be Chayim. But to argue that the reason the Gemara omits that is because we're talking about the Baal HaKli, so certainly one would be Potter because that is considered to be Aveda Midas. How do you explain Rashi Shita? If you look in the Nesivus is found in Simen Reish Samach Aleph. The Nesivus writes something which is not so simple. We'll have to see the Makoros right, in the Rishonim, that we're talking about a case b'makom sheyesh matzilim. But we'll have to see this when we see the Tosas. We're talking about a case in the Nesivos Rites where it is not obvious that the kli would smash. There is a way that the kli could be saved. But again, as we'll see, that is not so simple. Because if you look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, right, and Avchav Zayin, or you look in the Rambam that we'll see in Hilchos Chov Lomazik, Zayin and Beis, we're talking about cases here where it is a vadai, not that it is a case of safek. The Nesivos suggests that perhaps, according to Rashi Shita, it's a case where it is not obvious that the kli would smash, and therefore it's not considered to be a case of aveda midas ki ilu hifkiru ba'alim. Based on our earlier shiurim, we could point out just simply the following, that one could argue even more than that, not just simply a kasha of ki ilu hifkiru ba'alim, but this is aveda midas. If you have a kli that is thrown off the roof, and it is absolute that the kli will break, isn't that comparable to the sugya that we discussed earlier above Metziyah da Chafalaf Mudbeis of a case of Zuto Shalom, that is considered to be Avud Mimenu Umikol HaOlam? It's not just simply that the Bailim were Maskir the Chafetz. Since it was irretrievable and there's nothing that could have been done in order to stop it from breaking, so isn't that comparable to a case of Zuto Shalom, that, as we pointed out, is considered to be absolute Hefker, even Afilu Amad Ditzavach? Even if the Bailim would scream that they want to retain the Chafetz, but it's something which is considered to be Avud Mikol HaAdam. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that one would be Potter in that instance as well. If you look in the Berachah Shmuel, here in Bava Kamma in Siman Yud Aleph, the Berachah Shmuel quotes the following in the name of the Biskara regarding this issue of Rashi. It says this, that what do you mean? A person goes ahead and smashes a kli. But now you will have Shivrei Kelim. And the Shivrei Kelim, the Shvarim, Yesh Lehem Ktsas Eza Shivui, or one could certainly envision that there is some value that even the Shivrei Kelim could have. Even if that value is very minimal, even if it's something which is Pachos Mishava Pruta. However, nonetheless, Kvar Yeshal HaKelim Din Bailim, Ayadei Sha'adayin Shavapachos, Mishavapruta. Let's say, for example, a person goes ahead and smashes something. Now, Shivrei Kelim. It is not obvious that Biskarav writes that anyone could come and take those Shivrei Kelim. The Shivrei Kelim still belong to the Balabais, and he can decide for whatever reason he wants to use the Shivrei Kelim for, whatever purpose it is. If that is true, so therefore we don't assume that the Din Bailim is Paka simply through the result of throwing it off of the roof. If it would be a case of Zutel Shoyam, that it's irretrievable, in such a case it's true. That's considered to be Avod Mimenu, we call Ha'adam. That is considered to be Hefker. If it would be a case of Aveda Midas, that certainly is considered to be Hefker. But if simply the Balabayis destroys a Chepetz and changes its form, we don't assume that that is considered to be absolute Hefker. There is still a Din Bailim. And therefore, if one indeed would assume that, for example, the one who broke the kli would in fact be chayiv, no, in such an instance, then he would have to pay for the kli in its entirety. We don't necessarily assume that this is considered to be a case of aveda midas, or a case comparable to zuto shoyam. So that's what the Berachah Shmuel quotes to answer the kasha of the Rosh. And then Poshup Shav, the reason that Rashi maintains that the Braisa does not say explicitly that the Zorik is chayiv, is we're talking about a case of the Baal HaKli. This issue that the Rus discusses is also a kasha that the Ramban raises in the Melchamos against Rashi Shita. In the Melchamos and Daf Yer Aleph Mabeis and Daf Harif, first the Ramban raises the following kasha that we discussed, that Havi Le Meimar Harishon Chayiv, that very simply, according to Rashi, if we're attempting to be poshet, as Rabba says, Vasar Meikar Azlinan, so in such a case, just simply say the most direct way that the Rishon is Chayiv. Don't say that the Zorek, right, is absent at all, and the Mishaber is considered to be Potter. That's Kash number one that Ramban raises, and that's Poshup Shat, why Rashi says, we're talking about Zorak Baal Hakli. The second Kash, however, of the Ramban is the following. What exactly are the possibilities? If you hold that Basar Meikar Azlinan, so therefore the Zorik is Chayiv according to Rashi. And if you hold that Basar Tavar Man Azlinan, so in such a case then the Mishaber is Chayiv. The Ramban writes, how can that be? Afilo also is basar sov, even if one assumes that basar tavramana is lina. Well, of course he should still be potter. Why is that true? What was he responsible for? He was responsible for breaking a kli, right, a second before it was about to be destroyed. So how much indeed is that kli worth? After all, such a kli, the Ramban writes, the Mochamah says, ain no damin. How much would a person good for that kli? The kli is thrown off the roof, it's about to hit the ground. How much is that kli worth? Ramban writes, it's worth nothing. So in such a case, you're going to hold the mishaver accountable for the demeha kli. But how can that be? The kli is absolutely worthless. Ein lo damim, umay yishalein. So therefore, isn't it obvious that the mishaber should be potter? Why should that depend at all on basar mikara, basar taramana? I understand the first abaya of the Gemara. A person goes ahead and breaks the kli. It started out gufo and then developed into kocho, nizgalgel. So I understand. Is that called gufo? Is that called kocho? That's the suffix of the Gemara. But to assume that there's any possibility that there should be a chiyuv on the mishaber, how can that be? Ein lo damim umay yishalein. How does one answer that second kasha of the Ramban? The Ramban writes, isn't it obvious? Even if you assume basar tavramana is linan, there's no chiyuv whatsoever because the kli is considered to be worthless. In other words, although it is intact, nonetheless it is considered to be that which is worthless. This issue that the Ramban raises could be part of a much broader discussion that we've discussed in the past, and that is the following. What exactly is the yesod of tashlumei hezek? If I go ahead and I damage a person's chayfet, and the Torah insists that I'm obligated to pay, why in fact is that the case? So this perhaps is relevant to the Rambam, the Raivid, Nechustoim, Vinitan, in Perakei, Halacha Aleph, and in Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes the following. We have it in Daraisa based on Klal Prat Klal. We discussed this in the beginning of the year, that Ein Nishbayin Al HaKarkos. If there is a tviya, a taina of karka, in such a case, right, it is not subject to a shvua daraisa. So the Rambam writes the following. Let's assume, for example, that shtei sados machartali. Let's assume, for example, there is a claim that you sold me two fields, and I respond and saying that's not true. Lo machartlach ela achas. It's not the case. I only sold you a single field. So we're arguing about the ownership of a particular sada. In such a case, even though it's a mode of a miktas, I say that both are mine, and you say, no, you only sold me one. In such a case, the Rambam writes, there is no shvu daraisa in that particular case. After all, hareze nishba heses. There's only a shvu darabanan. This is a nishbain ala karkos, and therefore shvu darabanan, this is not a shvu daraisa of mode of a miktas. Good, that case in the Rambam is obvious. Then the Rambam goes on to the following chiddush. V'chein hachofer b'sedei chavero boros shichin umaoros. I go ahead and I ruin your field. I dug your field up. And you go ahead and you approach me and say that you were the one who dug these 10 boros in the field. And I respond and say, look, I agree, I damaged your field, but lo chafarti elachas. But I didn't do all of that. I only dug a single bor. So what is halach in such a case? The Rambam writes again, that is a case of ein nishbain ala karkos, and therefore hareze nishba hesis. Only a shvur drabanan. So this is the hasagas arayvid. In the first case, you understand very well why that in fact is true. After all, we're arguing about the ownership of a field that is called ein nishbain al hakarkos. Here, is there any machlokes as to the ownership of the field? Well, of course not. No? The field certainly belongs to you. You claim that I caused significant damage. I owe you $1,000 for the 10 boros that you dug. And I respond by saying, I dug half of them and I only owe you $500. Is that called karka or is that called a chiyuv tashlumin of maos? Is that a case of mode of a miktas or is that a case, no, of only a shvuas eses? Of course, they're arguing about what it is that I did. However, in terms of what is my chiyuv, the Rambam understands simply is to go ahead and to pay you for doing so. Well, is that called karka, or is that called metalfer? You see, according to the Rambam Shita, in a nutshell, that to make karka is dino ke karka. It's true, even though it's a tainas damim, there's no dispute in terms of who owns the field. But yet it is Deme Karka. You owe me X because of the damage that you caused to my Karka. That is considered to be Einishvain Al HaKarkos. And the Raivid disagrees. It's interesting. The Raivid doesn't disagree Me Kotze La Kotze. He doesn't disagree in an extreme. The Raivid is almost Moda Mitzas. The Raivid writes the following. Wait a second. It depends. The Raivid says, what was the Tainas HaToveya? The Raivid writes the following Chiddush. Im tevaol lemalo sachafiros. If his tvia is you are responsible to fill up those boros that you dug. If that is the truth, I understand that you can call karka. However, im tevaol leshalim hischo. How if the claim, the normal claim, is that you caused a loss, the field was worth this before, and now it's only worth this now, so therefore you caused me a hefset of thousands of dollars. So therefore, that is considered to be a tfias mamon, and that is considered to be a case of modes of amitzas, daraisa. So as the Rambam writes the Olam, this is called Einishvain Al HaKarkos, the Raivid does not go to the extreme and say, absolutely not. The Raivid writes a Chiddush that it depends. It depends on what that case is. This is the Ha'ar of the Mishnah Melech, that even according to the Raivid Shita, that if the afar is be'en, the dirt is still there. And all that is necessary now is to refill the bore, then I have a right to state that my taina is that you restore the field. If, however, that is not the case, then that is a chiyuv damim. And the Raivid brings the following raya. The sugyan shvuis, misha omer lo chavalti bishtayim, vo omer lo chavalti elachas. What about the following case? That I have a taina that you injured me twice, right? You engaged in two different acts of chavala, chova b'chavero, and I respond by saying, no, I only hit you once. In that case, the Raivid writes, that's similar to an instance of a mota amiktas, in which case you are chayiv. Why is that true? Good, it's deme chavala, but in that case, that is considered to be a chiyu damim. What exactly is that comment of the Hasagas Raivid? In that instance of lo chavalti bo elachas, what exactly is the chiyuv? The Raivid Pashupsha is assuming that's comparable to this case of karka. Why is it like the case of karka? Because the Raivid is assuming that Adam hukash la karka. And therefore a taina of chovo b'chavero is considered to be similar to a taina of karka, but just as demei karka is ain dino ke karka, demei adam is not dino ke adam. That's the ha'ara of the Raivid. The Magid Mishnah writes that perhaps one could deflect that raya very simply. Maybe there is no such halacha that adam is hukash l'karka. That's what the Magid Mishnah suggests, according to the Rambam. The halacha, according to the Rambam, is an eved is hukash l'karka. An eved is hukash l'karka, as we had in the very beginning of Merubah. But the Magid Mishnah suggests, according to the Rambam, there is no halacha that adam is hukash l'karka, and therefore this should be similar to a case of moda b'mitzah. So therefore, that raya of the Raivid is no raya whatsoever. The Rambam could certainly hold that to make karka is dino ke karka, but that doesn't apply to adam because adam eino hukash l'karka. The Mishnah Melech points out that's a very difficult biur, because if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam does assume when it comes to dine ona that adam is hukash l'karka. Not only eved hukash l'karka, but adam is in fact hukash l'karka, and therefore that is the basis of the Raivid's kasha. So sticking with this Ikar Hadin, according to the Rambam, Deme Karka is Dinoka Karka, and the Raivid writes that's not true. If the dispute, the Din Torah, is on Bailus of Karka, that is Ein Yishvain Al HaKarkos. However, here, Deme Karka is Ein Dinoka Karka. What exactly is the basis of this machlokas? So Pashup Shat, one could argue as follows. This is an essential machlokas in terms of the entire Yesod of Tashlumei Hezek. When the Torah tells us, if you have a case of Adam Hamazik or Behema Hamazik, there's a Chiyuv Tashlumin, why in fact is that the case? Pashup Shat, one could argue, according to the Rambam Shita, the Yesod of Tashlumei Hezek is restoration. Hashlamas HaChefetz. You impair the Chefetz, Therefore, you are obligated to restore the chefetz to its original condition. If you look in the Gemara, earlier in Bava Kama and Daf Yudam Abayz, the Gemara quotes the drasha of Rav Ami, Maka Behema Yishalmena, Rav Ami Yizdoresh Yashlimena, Yashlimena. Yishalmena, not that you pay for the fact that you injured someone's animal, but Yashlimena means that you're obligated to restore the chepitz to its original condition. Now, obviously, that can be done through Tashlumin as well. But the purpose of Tashlumin, right, is that that is a tool of Hashlamas HaChefetz, to restore the Chefetz to its original condition. Tikkun HaChefetz, that is considered to be the Chiyum. If you look in Rashi, right, in the Mishnah and Testament Beis, earlier in the Masechta, Kol Shechavta Bishmiraso, Hichsharti Es Nizko. What exactly do we mean? Hichsharti Es Nizko. What does that mean? Hichsharti, I made fit the hezek. Rashi writes, Hichsharti Es Nizko should be translated as follows: Alai lahachshir ulisake nizko. It is my responsibility to make right, to make fit that hezek. Alai lahachshir ulisake nizko. Rashi says, Klomar ani chayiv l'shalem. I'm obligated to pay in order to rectify, in order to restore that which I have done. One could argue very differently that maybe that is not true at all. Maybe the yesod of Tashlumi Hezek is not necessarily restoration, but rather it is hefsid mamon, compensation. As a result of what I have done, I have caused a certain measure of loss, and I am obligated to compensate the Baal HaChefetz. And that compensation is considered to be a chiyuv damin. It is not considered to be, right, a chiyuv of hashlamas hachefetz. Pashut shat, the Rambam who assumes as a davar pashut that dmei karka is dino kekarka, that's because, right, tashlum hezek is hashlamas hachefetz, tikkun hachefetz. Rashi writes, alai lahachshir ulisake nizko. If that is the case, therefore mi ikar hadin, one should be obligated to restore the field. It's true. I don't have to do the legwork. I can pay you the amount that you'll be able to hire a worker to go ahead and do so. But hashlamas hachefetz, that pashup shot is why the Rambam writes that dmei karka is considered to be dino kekarka. And the Ravid disagrees. Interesting, and the Ravid writes, it depends on the tviya. If the afar is be'en, and I could restore, then it's true, I could be toveya, that you restore the field, and then I would admit the rabbit writes that true. But if I come to Bezin with a claim of mamon, therefore the chiyuv is simply one of compensation, that is a straight case of mod devimiktas. So therefore, fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whereas according to the view of the Rambam, restoration, that is considered to be the Iker HaChiyuv, according to the Ravid, it is one of compensation, and that is not the case. One could certainly distinguish, this is what Rav Chaim discusses, maybe what is true of Nizke Mamon is not necessarily true of Chavala. Maybe one could distinguish between those particular cases. To answer the kasha of the Ravid, the Ravid assumes what is true of Dmei Karka, Dino Kekarka, is true of Dmei Adam, Dino Kaadam. Maybe one could argue that certainly is not true. As leftists discuss, a marked difference between, right, a case where I damaged a field as opposed to a case where I damaged a particular individual. This issue, in terms of what the yesod of the Chiv of Tashlumei Hezek, this to an extent could be related to the sugyan gitna daf nun gimel, the machlokes amoraim regarding hezek she'eino nikar. We assume ikar hadin like Rabbi Yochanan that hezek she'eino nikar lav shmei hezek. Mitame medame menasech, I go ahead and I absolutely cause you a direct loss. Amitame your taharos. I go ahead and I take your yayin and I am menasech or ma'arev the yayin. So in such a case, that's an instance of hezek shen nikar, where Rabbi Yochanan maintains that mikra din daraisa, you are potter. And why is it then that the Sugin Gittin distinguishes between a case of shogeg and mezid, that the mezid one is chayiv, the shogeg you're potter, the shuras hadin is you should always be potter. The chachamim were konis you be mezid, that shelo yehi kol echad holech metame terosu shel chaveru, because you'll get angry at someone and you'll cause a hefsed mamon shelo kedin. So therefore, midrabanan, we're mechayiv an individual in the case of hezek shenikar, but meikar hadin, one is potter. Why should that be? That meikar hadin, a person is potter in the case of hezek shenikar. So Rashi writes in that sugin gitn adav nun gimel. Rashi writes earlier in Bava Kama and Dav Hey and Aleph Der Maskel She'eno. Rashi writes the following: Shelo nishtanu mikamo shahayu. You didn't impair the chayfetz in any shape or form. Did you cause the person a loss? Absolutely. It was worth thousands of dollars before, and now the wine is usur, it's worthless. But there was no shinui in chayfetz. Lo nishtanu mikamo shahayu. Rashi writes in Bava Kama and Dav Hey. There's no chisaron bechefza. This is what the Rambam stresses in Chov L'Mazik in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. That lumdus fits in very well with assuming that the chiyuv of Tashlumi Nezek is one of restoration, to make karka dino kekarka, right, as the Rambam writes. And therefore, even if a person will absolutely cause a clear hefsid mamon, this is not a case of a grama, a clear hefsid mamon, but in such a case as the chayfetz is intact, so in such an instance, the Torah doesn't recognize that as a direct act of adam ha'mazik. That's true from the perspective of chetza, because lo nishtanu mikamo shahayu. It's interesting, if you look in Tosus, it's clear the Tosus had a different understanding of Hezek She'eno Nikar. Tosus and Baba Basra and Abbeis and Abbeis is bothered. In a case of Mitame Taro Shel Chaveru, why is that considered to be Hezek She'eno Nikar? That's what Tosus is bothered by. What does it mean? Tosus assumes because if you look at the Chayfetz, there's no obvious loss. And Tosus is bothered. What do you mean? Afal pi shiron hasheretz al hataros. If I go ahead and I take a sheretz and I place it on your taros, why is that hezek shel nikar? Of course it's nikar, right? Now it is nikar that it is tameh, and it is worth far less than it was worth before. Why, in fact, is that the case? So Tosus writes an unusual answer. After all, de miodea im hukshuru. Good. You see that there's a sheretz on the tefuah, but who says that the tefuah was subject to hechsher tuma? And therefore, there is no way of telling that there was even a hefsed mamon. Let's assume, for example, it was obvious that it was hechsher, and you went ahead and placed the sheretz on top of the mashke. In such a case, Tosus would seem to indicate that's called a hezek hanikar. Clearly, Tosus is not working with that halacha of, as Rashi writes, lo chosiluhu, lo nishtanu mikamo shahayu. Tosus seems to approach very simply that you can't tell whether it was subject to any loss whatsoever. And if you were to know that that was the case, that there was an obvious hefsed mamon in Achinami, that would be a case of a hezek hanikar. But according to Rashi, according to the Rambam, it means that there's a hezek al pidin, even if it's an obvious hezek, but it's a hezek al pidin, in such a case there's no shini chefza, lahalochet, status change, that is not called adam hamazik. This issue could also be related to the sugyan bava metzian daf tzadi tes amud beis. Rava raises the following with a fundamental machlokas rishonim, how to understand the psak halach of Rava. The Gemara tells us the following story, that hani shikulai to tavru chavisa dechamra. You're one of my workers, you're transporting my chavios of yayin, and all of a sudden you break them. The problem is the following, that these barrels of wine have different values. Biyoma deshuka, right, on a market day where the supply is there but the demand is very great, Mizdavna behei. If the demand is up, it's a market day, I'll get 5 for each chavis. B'shar yom mizdavna ba'arba. If it's an off day, so the most I'll be able to charge is 4. So therefore, how much am I obligated to pay you? I broke it on a yom d'shuka. I broke it on a market day that it was worth 5. But there's a fluctuating scale of how much each barrel is worth. How much am I obligated to pay? So fundamental machlokes between Rashi as opposed to the Rambam in the Rif, right? How to understand Rava's Shita. Rashi and the Rush as well understand the following. That I am obligated to go ahead and to pay you, right? 5. I broke it on a Yom HaDeshukah. On that day, each barrel was worth 5. That is what I am obligated to pay you. What happens if I replace it and I give you a chavis? I broke 2 chavios and I hand you 2 chavios of yayin. Is that good? Is that not good? So Rashi and Rashi understand, ooh, it depends. When you paid him back, what day did you pay him back? If you paid him back on a Yom HaDeshukah, so on that day it was worth 5, then you're okay. You owed 5, you paid 5. But if you would pay him back on an off day, that's not good. You owe him 5, you only paid him back with something that right now is worth 4. That's how Rashi and the Rush understand the Shita of Rava. The given is you owe 5. And how much is the chavis worth to pay back? Well, it depends on which day you pay back. After all, don't we always assume that a chiyuv damim is always dependent on a time and place? Maybe it's worth something more someplace else. Maybe it's worth something more another day. I mean, that's irrelevant, right? The time and the place of your payback, that is considered to be its value. The Rif and the Rambam disagree. The Rif here in the sugyim, but Metziyat Tzaditesim and Beis, the Rambam Hilchos Chirus, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes the following, it's true. The chiyuv ma'os is b'shas tashlumim. I broke in a day that it's worth 5. But the Rambam and the Rif assume I always have the right, I always have the right of paying you back a barrel of wine. I broke a barrel, I am giving you a barrel. That's always an option. The only time you have to start considering, am I paying you the proper amount, is if I broke a barrel and I'm paying you in cash. No, that's true. So therefore, that would be dependent on, right, the shas hatashlumin. But if I'm giving you back a chavis, of course that's good. What is the claim? You broke a chavis. Here's a chavis. That also is considered to be sufficient. Poshav shat, what is this issue? Perhaps this is exactly the Rambam, the Shita saying. The Rambam that assumes that Demei Karka Dino Kekarka means that in essence the Chiv is Hashlamas HaChefetz, restoration. And therefore you always have the option of restoring the Chefetz, even if there was a fluctuation in price. And therefore the Rambam who assumes Demei Karka Dino Kekarka always allows you to go ahead and to give the Chavis. If you assume, however, that the Yesod of Hezek is Hefsid Mamon, I owe you 5. That's when I broke it. I'm paying you back a chavis. Yeah, my payback of chavis is just simply sheva kesef, hefsed mamon. And obviously, that value will be determined based on the time and the place of payment. There's no argument that I broke a barrel, I'm paying you a barrel. On one hand, one could argue that goof is the machlokes, the Rambam and Rashi. Where the Rambam Lashitasi assumes Hashlamas HaChefetz, perhaps Rashi assumes that no, the Yesod of the Chiyuv Tashlumin is Hifsid Mamon, compensation, and therefore the compensation is 5. Whatever you pay me, we'll assess on that day, in that time and place. One could argue, however, Rashi does not necessarily agree with the fundamental Chakira. After all, there is a marked difference between the Demei Karka case as opposed to, right, this case in Bav Metzia and Daf Tzadites. In the Demei Karka case, I am restoring the karka that I damaged. There Rashi could agree with what the Rambam writes, that the chiyuv is one of hashlama sachefes. Here, that certainly is not true. It's not that I am repairing or restoring the chefetz that I broke, that chavis. I'm supplying you with another chavis. I broke a chavis, here is a new chavis. That Rashi could argue that that is not called hashlamas hachefetz. That already is midin tashlumin. Even if the yesod hezek is one of restoration, that's not called restoring. Right? There you are replacing. That's the chiddush that Rashi writes. If one is restoring, I would agree with what the Rambam writes. If you're replacing chavis for chavis, that is considered to be shavah kesef. This chiddush of the Rambam is a chiddush al gabi chiddush. It means hashlamas hachefetz, and replacement also is labeled as hashlamas hachefetz. That Rashi could disagree and argue that is not the case at all. How is that relevant for us if you assume that the yesod of hezek is hashlamas hachefetz, yashlimenu, hichsharti yes nizko? Perhaps with this one could be miyashiv, right, the kasha of the Ramban. It is true that that chavis, as it is about to hit the ground, is worth very, very little. That certainly is the case. But if one assumes that the yesod of tashlum hezek is hashlama sachefes, the dollar value really is almost irrelevant. It means that there was a chefetz that is intact, because after all, if you assume basar tavar manad linan, the chefetz right here and now is considered to be shalem, it is intact, and you, by breaking that plea, have impaired the chefetz, your obligation is to restore. And the dollar value is not the direct chiyuv tashlumin. First, you have to assess again that restoration of the chefetz, the amount that it would cost to restore, that filters down to a chiyuv tashlumin. But the fact that the Ramban writes that right here and now is almost of no value, in such a case, perhaps that is not relevant in determining whether there is a chiyuv hezek. If one were to argue that everything is viewed in terms of simple hefsed mamon, the Ramban's argument is compelling. How much would you pay for a kli that is about to break? But if you assume that the yesod hezek is one of tashlumin, hashlama sachefes, in such a case, maybe that is not the instance whatsoever. And therefore Rashi assumes that if you hold basar tavra manazlinan, the kli is intact. The chiddush of basar me'ikara azlin, in such a case, it's a kli shavur. Just like gufo as opposed to kocho, we'll have to assess that. And if that is the case, then there's no chiyuv, even in terms of hashlama sachefes as well. That's one possibility in answering this kasha of the Ramban. Another possibility is a very different track. This is something we'll see that is already alluded to in the Ramban, in different contexts. But if you look in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, in the Yeshuos Malka, right? This is the Pirush of Yeshua Lev Kutna on the Ramban. Yeshuos Malka, Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Here he writes a fascinating possibility. How is it that Rashi, right, and Tosus assume that if you argue Basar Tavaz Manaz Linan, so therefore the Mishaber is Chayim? What do you mean? As the Ramban writes, what in fact did he do? He broke a worthless kli. Right, is it so obvious that that kli is worthless? What would have happened if I didn't break the kli? What would happen in that particular case? The Zorek certainly would have been Chayiv. Let's assume the case like the Rosh writes, the Zorek Acher. Someone else throws the Kli off of the roof. If I didn't get involved, and the Kli smashed, well, of course the Zorek would be Chayiv. As a result of my breaking the Kli, well, what happens? If you hold Basar Me Karaz Linan, the fact that I broke the Kli is irrelevant. But if you hold Basar Tavramana Azlinan, so what happens? It's true. You broke a kli that people would not give a nickel for, but as a result of your breaking the kli, the zorek is now potim not tashlumin. What is the chiyuv of the zorek? I broke your kli? His response will be, if you assume basar tamar azlanin, I didn't do that. I wasn't responsible for breaking the kli. And therefore, perhaps the chiyuv on the mishaber is because of mafkia shibudo shel chaveiro. It is not rooted in a direct case of Adam HaMazik, but rather the chiyuv is betoras mazik shibudo shel chaveiro. If something is coming to me, and as a result of what I have directly done, someone else will become exempt, in such a case, sometimes there's also a chiyuv tashlumin. Not betoras Adam HaMazik, but at times betoras Garmi, the Chosh Mishvot, for example, in Simen Tav Zayin, in Siv Beis, HaMazik Shibudu Shachaveiro. That would be chayiv. What is the case? Let's assume, for example, my short tam causes you damage. So I'm chayiv to pay, chati nezek. All of a sudden I go ahead and I'm shochet that short tam. Well, short tam is only mishalim migufo. So now I've done something to the shore that has compromised your ability to collect. So the Mechaber writes, good, you're going to be chayiv now because of mazik shibudo shel chaveiro. So that is a chiddush that Yeshua's Malko suggests, even if you argue with Rabban Yisrael, that objectively the kli is worth very little, it's worth very little to others. But the fact that it will remain intact is critical for the Baal HaKli because the Zorek is Chai B'Tashlumin. So perhaps one could suggest the interesting Chiddush that if you assume Basar Tavarmana Azlinan, the Mishaber is Chai B'Toras Mazik Shibudo Shel Chavera. We'll have to discuss that point. This is the second Kasha that the Ramban raises. The first Kasha is why doesn't the Gemara simply say that the Zorek is Chai? The second kasha, even if it's in basar tavamanas, a person broke something that was worthless. The third kasha of the Ramban. We saw the sugi in the end of the parak, Nav Chavav, where Rambam says the following: Zorak tinok mirosh agag, uba achar v'kibla b'sayim. Everyone agrees. Everyone agrees. The zorek is potter. Is there anyone that says that the Zorek is Chayiv Misa B'Toras Rotzeach? No. The Machlokes Tanaim is the Achron Chayiv, Va'achev B'Kibla B'Sayiv. The Chachamim say that the Achron is Potter, and Rabbi Ben Beseris says that the Achron is Chayiv Ibnei Shekiriv Misasa. Wait a second. This is Rabbi speaking, no? Rab, according to Rashi, maintains Basar Meikar Azlinan. Basar Meikar Azlinan means the Zorek is Chayiv, according to Rashi. If the Zorek is Chayiv, so Zorak Tinog, the Zorek should be Chayiv Misa. No one says the Zorek is Chayiv Misa. The whole Machlokes is the Achron Chayiv because Kirev Misasa. And the Ramban asks in the Mochamos that if you assume that Rabbi's Shita is Basar Mi'ikara Azlinan, which is the way Rashi understands Rabba, why is it that the Zorek is Potter? That's the Ramban's question. What is the Chiddush implied in this Ramban? A great leap. What is true of Nizkei Mamon is true of Ritzicha. There's no difference between Zarakli and Zaraktinok. If Basar Meikar Azlinan means that you are Mazik because Zarakli, Basar Meikar Azlinan means that you are Erotseach in the case of Zarakatinok. Is that necessarily true? Bosh Rav Shach, Rashi would argue, absolutely not. Even if you hold Basar Meikar Azlinan, good, so you could argue that since the kli was destined to break, you are the one who is gorev hesed mamon. But to argue that since the child was destined to die, you are a rotseach, even though the misa was not caused by your act, is that really the case? Can you assume that the chiyuv niske mamon is comparable to that of a rotseach? This, right, is relevant to the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Ches Samad Aleph, where there the Gemara begins with our case. The Gemara tells us the following: the Tanur Rabbanon, Hiko asara bnei adam basara maklos. Our case, right? A whole gang of people beat a person, and umeis and he dies. Ben bevasachas, ben bezachas. They're all potter. None of them is considered to be solely responsible for causing a chiyuv misa. Rabbi Yudben Besera Omer that no, if it's basachas, you're right. But if it's bezachar zeh, our case, ha'achron chayiv, ifnei shekirev es misasa. Machlokes chachamim and Rabbi Yudben Besera. The Gemara explains that Am Rabbi Yochanan, u'shneihem mikra echa dorshu. It's all based on the following drasha. The pasuk tells us, v'ikra chavdalet v'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam. Kol nefesh adam. How are you doresh that pasuk? Rabbanan Savri, what does that mean? Kol nefesh ad di'ika kol nefesh. Therefore, you have to be responsible for taking that life entirely. Kol nefesh. Rabbi Mevesera Savar, no. Kol nefesh means kol duhu nefesh. Kol duhu nefesh. Even if it's kira misasa. In such a case, one, in fact, would be chayiv. Amar Rava, hakol modim bahorges ha-treifa shehu potter. Everyone agrees, if a person kills a treifa, you're potter in that case, because the treifa is considered to be already gavra ktila. But gosis bidei shamayim, if a person is a gosis bidei shamayim, and you hasten death, in such a case, everyone agrees you're chayiv. If a person is in a state of being a goses, but that was induced as a result of the person being beaten, in such a case, that is the issue. Mar medami with a treifa, and you are a potter. Well, mar medami the goses bidei shamayim, and therefore you're considered to be chayiv. Furthermore, the very same moment, Sanhedrin Ein Chesam Aleph, the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us the following: Hamakes chaveru, a person beats someone. Ben be'evin, ben be'egrof, whether it's with a weapon, whether it's with his fist. Va'amdu alamisa. And the assessment is that that person is going to die. He was fatally injured. And all of a sudden, v'hikam ma'ashahaya, and all of a sudden he seems to be recuperating. U'la'achar mikan hichbidu meis. Then he takes a turn for the worst, and then in fact, he dies. So, machlokes tanayim. Right? What do we assume in that particular case? So the Gemara explains the following: the Tanur Rabbanan, as Zudorish Rabbi Nechemia, the pasuk says, "Im Yakom v'Yisalech Bachutz Al Mishantov Then V'Nikahan Akei." You damage a person, right? And all of a sudden, you're injured. Yeah, but he's walking; he's fine. So then, V'Nikahan Akei. In such a case, that you are not going to be faulted if subsequently, let's say, he would die. So the Gemara says, "Isn't that obvious? That you need a pasuk for that." A person is injured, he recuperates, and then subsequently he dies. You would think that that's called an act of Ritzicha. Vitala datcha, shezem alech peshuf, is an error. You would think that the person walks and you're killed. No, it means the following. That, amdu lemisa, hikul mashahaya, ulachar kach hichbiru mei, shu fata. It means again, that change. V'rabanan, hay v'ni kaham akem ay darshime. The Gemara answer is Malamed Shechoshvin Oso. Chovshin Oso. In that particular case, where a person was damaged and were Omed Lamisa, the person is about to die, what does it mean? Chovshin Oso. Rashi says the following. Haivni Kamake means Malamed Shechoshvin Oso, Im Hamdu Lamisa. The Bezdin sees that you injure the person to the extent that it was a fatal blow. Chovshin Osamakash Liyivrach, we go ahead and we lock you up. We restrain you in order that you don't run away, and we see what will happen, whether in fact the person will die or whether he will not. And that is vini kahamake. What does that mean? Kishiyakum vini kam ichlal dar hashta chavushu. It means we'll only let you go free when he recuperates. Kozma, that does not happen in such a case, right? We will place you in confinement in order to see, right, whether in fact he will survive. Okay. Tosus writes here, Sanhedrin Ein Ches Amar Aleph, Tosus Begosis Bidei Adam. Tosus raises the following tema. Also Shah Sohu Goses. A person who put him into that state of Goses, it was a case of Goses Bidei Adam. A person was beaten and now he's in a state of Goses. Am I potter? Why is he off the hook? Right? Our issue is whether the Achron is chayiv because Kirev Misaso. But even the one who put him in that situation of being a Goseis, why is he potter from Metzicha? After all, don't we assume that Rav Gose is in the Misa? The chances are the person is going to die. And Verim ben Sora Morem, the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin Samach Tes, that Hochin ben Nefashos al Taharo. No, we follow Rav when it comes to Nefashos. So if Rav Gose is in the Misa, therefore if you place a person in the state of Goseis, why aren't you killed immediately? Vamaka chaver vamdu lemisa umeis milo mechayiv v'hanam yom adamisahu. So therefore, what's all this business of waiting? Wait to see whether he survives. He doesn't survive. Why not assume holchen acharo? Tosa says veishlamar kaven shikilav hatorah shechov shinoso. Since you see the Torah says v'nikah hamakeh, and the Gemara's darish that means that all you do is confine him. Kinarina b'samuch, as you see later in the Sigin next Mishnah. That means that afal pishem du lemisa ein horgen kol zman shehu chai. As long as the person is alive, you are not considered to be a rotzeach, even if there's a rov. That rov goes in the misa? Yeah, but that's the pasuk v'nikah makay. The most you can do is let's sit and wait and see what occurs. But the person cannot be declared a rotzeach at that point, even if you assume that holchem b'nefashos sachaharo. That's what Tosfos says, you see, from this issue. See, even if a person is responsible for putting someone in a state of a goseis, he is not called a rotzeach. If he dies, yeah, we attribute the fact that he died to the blow. Then he is a rotzeach. But right here and now, that certainly is not the case. Even if you have an umda de muchach, and even if you have an absolute rov, an holchem acharov, that is considered to be insufficient. That's what Tosfos says, Boshab Shat in the Gemara. Minchas Minach, for example, Mitzvah Lamed Aleph, raises the following suffix. If a person injures someone to the extent that he is a treifa, is that person considered to be a rotzeach? You place them in a state of treifa, now al pidin, right? Gavra ktilo kotam. If someone else would be horiges a treifa, they'd be potter. Yeah, but what about the person who put him into a state of a treifa? There is a Yad Ramah in this sugya, Senator Ayin Ches, that writes a very great Kiddush, that in that particular case, if it is clear that there was one person who put him into a state of a treifa, Mistavrid the Chayiv Misa, a very great Kiddush, the Yad Ramah writes, your Chayiv Misa for putting someone in the state of treifa. Boshav Shat, that's not like Tosus. Tosus assumes even if there's every indication, not just treifa, Mamish Goseis, he's no telomos, but that person cannot be considered to be a rotzeach as of yet, because the person did not die al pidin. He is not considered to be a rotzeach in that instance. Poshub shat, you see, from the way Tosfos understands the Gemara, that one cannot equate with tzicha to other cases, for example, of nizke mamon. There is no chiyu v'toras rotzeach unless the person dies as a result of that makkah, and that's based on these drashos. Kol nefesh ha'adam and v'nikah makkeh chov shinozno. In fact, if you look in Chidushei Haran in Sanhedrin daf Ayin Zayin Mudbeis, the Ran writes a couple of great chidushim. The Ran writes the following. Let's assume, for example, I go ahead and I set a fire, and the fire continues and it burns someone. That's called Adam Hamazik. I set a fire and the fire destroys a field. That's Adam Hamazik. That's not called Mamon Hamazik, Eishem Mishum Mamono, Eishem Mishum Chitza. If a person sets a field of fire and someone is killed as a result, is that person called a rotzeach? That person called the Rotzeach. The Ran writes, a very great Chiddush, no, that is not called Ritzicha. Eishem Ishem Chitzav is fine for Dinei Hezek, that is called Adam Hamazik. But through Eishem Ishem Chitzav, you cannot be called a Rotzeach. That's too indirect. You set a fire, the fire spreads, and someone's life is taken. Al pidin, you are not a rotzeach. There's no chiyuv misa b'toras rotzeach. That's what the Chiddush Ran writes in Sanhedrin, that ayin zayin abeiz, amliyo b'chiddush. Eishim ishim chitzav means that there is a chiyuv tashlumin, and it's not tashlumin mamam, there's a chiyuv dalet varim, sar ripu yishevez boshes, but there's no chiyuv b'toras rotzeach. Isn't it against the Gemara of Chavez? Right, the Gemara says, Kim Neder Avni, we discussed that before, no? Person sets a fire and someone is killed and the house is destroyed. So he's potter in hamamon because of Kim Neder Avni. What is the Ran talking about? Kim Neder Avni, he's not a Rotzeah. You know, Pashav Shav the Ran, it's like the Rashba, that's what you have to discuss there. What is the basis of that Chiyuv Misa? The Rashba writes, unbelievable Kiddush. It's not the Torah's Rotzeah. You know what the Chiyuv Misa is? The Torah's Rodev. The Torah's Rodev. He's not a Rotzeach. But sometimes the Torah says you can put someone to death even if he's not a Rotzeach. Rodev achar chaveiro. That's an unbelievable Chiddush that the Ran writes. The whole sugya of Kim Din Rabin, Eishem Yishem Chitzov, is Midin Rodev. It is not Midin Rotzeach. The difficulty, we get to that sugya, you have to discuss that. If it's Mishum Rotzeach, I understand why the Gemara makes that dependent on Eishem Yishem Chitzov, Eishem Yishem Amono. How can you be called a Rotzeach if Eishem Yishem Amono? If my shore kills you, I'm not a Rotzeach. If you're arguing that the Chiyuv is not B'toras Rotzeach, the Chiyuv is B'toras Rodev, so you're such a Lamdan. Rodev depends on Eishem Yishem Chitzov, Eishem Yishem Amono. I go ahead and I set the field afire. I'm about to go ahead and light the match, and I see there's a person who was locked in the house. He's going to be killed. No, you're not a Rodev. Because Eishem Yishem Amono. Shouldn't Rodev be driven by the mitzvah Hatzola? And in terms of the Chovas Hatzola, is there a real difference between the lumdus of whether Eishem Yishem Chitzov and Yishem Amono? Or isn't that based on bottom line that you can go ahead and do whatever is necessary to save a person's life? I'll have to get to that difficulty, but the Rashba's Mefurish. Now that's the halacha which is Nidin Rodev. But the Ran is clear, like the Rashba, that Eishem Yishem Chitzov means it's Adam Hamazik, not just Behem Hamazik, and you're Chayiv Daladvarim, Adam Hamazik, but you're not considered to be a Rotzeach. Apparently you see that there's a world difference between Hezek as opposed to Ritzicha. That Ran in Sanhedrin, the Chiddush of Chayim Zayin, writes the same thing is true when it comes to Kocha, when it comes to Koach Sheni. Even though one can assume an Adam Mu'ad Ba'olam, and therefore a person could be Chayiv Behezek, even if it's Al Yedei Kocho, Koach Sheni, the Ran writes that certainly is not true when it comes to a Rotzeach. Ritzicha requires a Maiser Ritzicha. The fact that you have done something that there is an Ome, that the person will die, also says that's insufficient. The fact that the person is a Goseis, as of yet, that's insufficient. The fact that you set the field afire and the person will be killed, that's not enough to label the person as a Rotzeach. In light of all these makaros, Pashur Pshat, that is the answer to the Kasha of the Ramban. Rashi would argue that yes, Basar Mikara Azlinon could mean that we can ascribe the Shviras Hakli to the Zorik. And therefore it's as though it's Mana Tavira Tavar, Basar Mikara Azlinon, and therefore, what you have done is nothing. If you hold Bastam Yikaraz Linan, the Kli was already Shavur. The Chi of Nezikin is now on the Zorek. And the Mishaber is Patel Gamre. That's Bastam Yikaraz Linan. But Bastam Yikaraz Linan is insufficient to label the Zorek as a Rotzeach. A Maestro Tzicha, it is not, unless it culminates in the death of that child. But if Zarat Tinok and the Kimblu Acher B'siyav, so in such a case, how can you say that person, right, is a Rotzeach? The most you can say is, yeah, like the Gemara Sanhedrin, you put the child's life in extreme danger. He was destined to die. Yeah, that's like a ghost says. Rabbi de Adam. And yet, when is that chayiv, that passion? If you look at the Nachlas David, right here in our sugya, so Nachlas David just writes the following, the Ramaschil Aval Ha'emes, Aval Ha'emes Ha'baruhu, Tishayne Misa Minizakin. That's the answer. It's the Raman's Kasha against Rashi. Teda, Tahi Ko Asar Bnei Adam Ke'echa. If all people hit him simultaneously, and he dies, everybody agrees you're Potter. That wasn't the Machlokes, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yisrael Ben Seira. Everybody agrees you're Potter. That wouldn't be true in Nizakin. B'chi Hai Gavna, when it comes to Hezek, well, of course, Kulam Chayavim. If 10 people simultaneously cause Hezek, well, they're all Chayiv. U'mishamim ben Kulam Nezek Shamim. Everyone bears responsibility. Here, when it comes to Ritzvah, that's not true. Because no one put forth a Meister Ritzicha, and therefore no one is considered to be a Rotzeach. Al Karcho Shani Misim Yizakim. How do you know that that's true? Nu Dichsiv Ki Yaka Kol Nefesh Ha'adam Ad Shiaka Kol HaNefesh. And he refers you to the Sugyan Senedaf Ayin Ches, Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Chadarshu. That is the Chiddush. And Udvar Mukhrachim. The Imlo Kena Milo Pligi Rabbi Mimser and Ami Beresha. After all, why doesn't Rabbi Mimser disagree in the Resha as well? When Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh, Kol Nefesh means Nefesh Kolduhu. It doesn't mean you have to, right, extinguish life entirely, but any extinction of life, anything, even Kirmisaso. So why doesn't Rabbi Mimser say the same thing should apply in all cases? Udvarav Mukhrachim De'im Lo Kein Amaylo Plig Rabbi Mimser Namei Bereisha. So clearly Maaser Ritzicha is in fact necessary, and one cannot go ahead and equate all of these cases. That Pashav Shat is the teretz to the Kasha of the Mochamas. So we'll have to take a look at the Psak Halacha of the Rif. Again, the Ramban points out, you see clearly from the Rif, not like Rashi. Because Rashi assumes that, according to Rabba, Basar Me'ikara Azlinag. That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. And in our case of Gufo, the results in Yizgal Gel Kolko, so the Yechiv of Nesek Shalem. The Ramban and the Balamor point out from the Rif, that certainly is not the case. So take a look at the Balamor, Yidalef Beis and Dabbi Harif. The Balamor highlights a stira, right, in the Psak Halacha of the Rif. Whether the Rif holds Basar Meikar Azlin or Basar Tavar Manazlin. You have to see the case in the Yud Chesem and Aleph of Tarnagolim Sheim Mechatetin Bechevel Dli. How would you pask him? Meikara Tavar Manaz, the Balamor points out, the Rif on Dav Zayin, the Rif on Dav Yud Aleph, is Soser himself. Right, the Ramban points out that I have a completely different approach to the Sugya, where there's no stira whatsoever. This view of the Ramban is found in the Mochamos. It's also found in the Kuntres de Garmi of the Ramban. Here, if you look, right, in the new editions of the Kuntres de Garmi, it's found, right, Andav Kuf Lamed Beis. One paragraph begins, V'chein Hazorek Klimi Rosh Hagag, right, and the next paragraph is a little bit earlier, that's Andav Kuf Chavches, HaKofev Komaso Shol Chaveiro. Why the Ramban explains the way he learned our sugya, and in such a case, the Ramban writes almost the opposite, right, of Rashi Shita, based on the kashas that the Ramban writes. So we'll have to continue with Rashi Shita. Take a look at the Balamor, right, the Malchamos. If you finish that, take a look in Chedusha Rashba, right, where the Rashba quotes a third Shita, the Shita Saraivid, a completely different way of understanding our sugya. Okay, so we'll pick up on Ritz Hashem tomorrow with the Balamor of the Malchamos.